Mike Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On Twitter, at Rich Scioli. What a show we have for you today. Dave McCormick's going to stop by. Jeff Yass is going to stop by. Jeff Yass, one of the, well, he's the richest guy in Pennsylvania, and he's a profound, profound advocate for school choice, and he's going to be on the show. I'm very excited about that. The chairman of the RNC, Michael Whatley, is going to be on the show. And Trump is doing a press conference at 4:30 p.m. today. We will take it live for you so you can hear what he has to say. Kamala Harris, man, that interview, whatever you want to call it, what a disaster. This is a bad candidate. This is a bad, bad candidate. She's getting slammed by everybody. The New York Times, CNN. I mean, the New York Times just roasted her on how bad that interview was. No specifics, all fluff, still with the sugary topping, but no substance whatsoever. You know what it's like? I'll tell you what it's like. It's like you go to a steakhouse and the steak is awful. You can't, it's just chewy, it's rubbery, it's terrible. And the side dishes are just okay. But you have a lovely server who's come over and said really wonderful things throughout the entire course of the night, promising you how wonderful everything was going to be. And then when you tell her that things were not great, she goes, well, I hope you enjoyed it anyway, because it was really our pleasure to have you. It's like, you didn't hear what I, this is awful. This is the worst. This is terrible. That's what Kamala Harris's economic message is. It's bad and it's chewy and it's not good, but it's served with such joy and so upbeat and joyful. And it's just not working. It's not working for her. But, you know, the mayor of New York, let me tell you something about this guy, right? So the thing about Democrats is you're allowed to be corrupt until you cross them. So he crossed the Biden administration on illegal immigration, and he criticized the administration for what's going on at the border. And then they went after him and they indicted him. The allegations go back to when he was the Brooklyn Borough president. So this is nothing new. But it's a flimsy case at best. I mean, it's about he was upgraded from coach to first class. He helped Turkey get a fire inspection for their building done. I mean, he helped them get it through the bureaucracy of New York City. That's basically what they got him on. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's more to it than that. But I heard Judge Jeanine Pirro breaking it down. And, you know, she's an expert on this stuff. And she's like, that's it. That's all they got. And so they got on the guy, and then campaign bundling. But you're allowed to bundle. People can bundle. Bundling's legal. It's just that they wanted to go after the mayor of the largest city in the country because he criticized the administration on the border. That's what happened. Until when Eric Adams was just staying in his lane and he was just being good and he was behaving okay. It was fine. Nothing bad. The minute he crossed the Biden administration, the minute he criticized them, then boom, they dropped the hammer on him. And that's what they do. It's a weaponized justice system. Weaponized justice system designed to intimidate and to make everybody else shut the hell up. They did the same thing with Bob Menendez. Now, Bob Menendez, it was a legit indictment. Both times it was. And they finally got him, and Menendez was corrupt. But the thing about Menendez is we knew he was corrupt for decades. Everybody knew Menendez was corrupt, but it was only until Menendez spoke out against Barack Obama's Iran deal that they indicted him the first time. And then when he spoke out against Biden's Iran deal, they indicted him the second time. That's how it works. That's how it works. So even if they believe that Eric Adams is corrupt, as long as he had just not criticized the Biden administration, they never would have went after him. And even if they know this is a flimsy case and they have nothing on him, they're going to go after him to send a message to everybody else that we can make your life a living hell. We're going to go after you, and we're going to take you to the mattresses just because you dared to step out of line and cross us. Now, just keep Fox News at the ready, if you would, Justin, because I think the mayor is about to speak. And I think there's a lesson here. And the lesson is that this weaponized Department of Justice will go after everybody. Everybody. They just don't care. But the key is that you cannot cross them, because they will, even if and this, from what I can tell, this case is it's a joke. It's a joke. And I'm not really in the position of defending Mayor Eric Adams. But at the same time, I really have a problem when the law is used for political purposes, and I don't care if the law is used to go against my people or my political opponents. I don't want it to happen. It should not be happening in this country. It should not be happening. And what you have here is a nonsense, from what I can tell, from everything I've heard so far. He got upgraded to first class from coach, and he helped Turkey get their fire inspection through. Which, as an elected official, helping people get stuff through City Hall or through the bureaucracy happens all the time. Happens all the time. I mean, they're arguing that he sold out the United States of America like Menendez did, but there's no proof of that in the allegations that they raised against him. So as far as I can tell, this is an entirely political prosecution of the guy. And it all goes back to that time that he stood up at that, it was a high school gym or something, and he said the crisis at the border is real. This administration needs to do something about it. And it was a whoa. It was a wake up. It was a moment where you went, is that Eric Adams saying that? Eric Adams said that? You go, holy cow. I can't believe that guy had the cojones to say something about it. But then they said, well, we have everything on you. We know what we have on you. We have it all. So it's just a matter of time until we decide to use it against you. And then we decide to use it. We'll use it. And in fact, here, I think the mayor, he's not going to speak now. Matt, I just sent you the clip. I want to play the clip of when Adams criticized the administration. I tweeted out earlier today. Reminder, you can be a corrupt Democrat as long as you stay in your lane and be good, but speak out against them like Menendez and Adams and they come after you. Now, I think these are two totally different cases here. I mean, Menendez was as guilty as they come. That dude was guilty, no question about it. Believe me, I grew up in Jersey politics. Menendez needed to go down, and I'm glad they finally got him. But I'm telling you, had he not criticized the Iran deal, had he gone along with it, Bob Menendez would be heading towards re-election right now as United States Senator. They never would have indicted him. Because again, all these allegations go back to 2019. They only indicted him in 2023. It's the same thing with Adams. These allegations go back to when the guy was the borough president of Brooklyn. So it's almost like they have a binder on everybody. And I always said, if the government wants to get you, the government will find a way to get you. And then they just decide they're going to whip it out, and then that's it. They whip it out, and then they just go after you. Seinfeld reference for you right there. Here's Adams criticizing the administration, just to prove my point here. And again, it's not that I want to really be defending Eric Adams, but as somebody who cares about civil liberties in this country, and as somebody who speaks out against the weaponized justice system, to argue that this guy took luxury travel benefits when he was upgraded to first class and maybe had his room upgraded and things like that, that's just, it's ridiculous. And they also said that there were things about him, like they were saying, well, this hotel is really expensive, but it was like, well, you're not paying for it anyway. And okay. But it was, I don't know. It seems to me an incredibly flimsy indictment here. And it seems much more to say to the mayor of the largest city of the country, we're going to keep sending you illegal immigrants. You're going to take them. And if you don't stop taking them, if you get in the way, then this will happen to you. Because you know every Democrat mayor in this country is corrupt. You know that, right? I mean, 100% of them. There's not one that isn't. Not one. So I mean, the message to them is, we know you're all corrupt. You better zip it. And you better watch it. Because if you dare criticize us, you're next. Here's what Adams said. Just take a listen to the time that he blasted the administration.
Support. And let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. One time we were just getting Venezuela. Now we're getting Ecuador. Now we're getting Russian speaking coming through Mexico. Now we're getting Western Africa. Now we're getting people from all over the globe have made their minds up that they're going to come through the southern part of the border and come into New York City. And everyone is saying it's New York City's problem. Every community in this city is going to be impacted. We have a $12 billion deficit that we're going to have to cut. Every service in this city is going to be impacted. All of us. And so I say to you, as I turn it over to you, this is some of the most educated, some of the most knowledgeable, probably more of my commissioners and deputy commissioners and chiefs live in this community. So as you ask me a question about migrants, tell me what role you played. How many of you organized to stop what they're doing to us? How many of you were part of the movement to say, we're seeing what this mayor is trying to do and they're destroying New York City? It's gonna come to your neighborhoods. All of us are going to be impacted by this. I said it last year when we had 15,000. I'm telling you now with 110,000, the city we knew, we're about to lose. And we're all in this together, all of us. Staten Island saying, send them out to Manhattan. Manhattan is saying, send them out to Queens. Queens is saying, send them out to Brooklyn. No. It's not the game we can play.
Now, look, you could say, I don't feel sorry for you because you're a Democrat and you embraced these sanctuary city policies, et cetera, et cetera. And that's fair. But what he's saying here about they are destroying New York, he's saying the Biden administration, by sending these illegal immigrants, they are destroying New York City. A lot of what's in this indictment actually is outside the statute of limitations. And the most shocking claim is that he helped the Turkish consulate get their fire inspection. Now, the claim is not that the building was an inferno and that he had them forcibly overlook it. No. He just had them give them the freaking fire inspection so that they could open up for business. Like, I mean, how many times in life have you said, can the government move faster to give me my license to operate or something like that? That's what he's accused of doing in exchange for upgraded flights and stays at lavish hotel rooms on foreign business trips, where I guess he didn't choose the Motel 6 option. He got them their fire certificate. He got the fire marshal of New York City to give them their fire inspection safety. No allegation that the fire marshal didn't want to do it or that the building was unsafe or anything like that. No. So look, and you don't have to think, hey, Eric Adams, you don't have to feel sympathy for him for New York City, because you could say you're a Democrat and you embrace these policies and, you know, this is what you get. But the point is, that speech right there that he gave that I just played for you, when he said they are destroying New York City, they is Joe Biden. They is the open border. They is the illegal immigrants. Five counts, including bribery, of nonsense. So it just shows you how incredibly weaponized Joe Biden has made his Department of Justice. And it's almost like they sat there and they heard Eric Adams that day in the speech and they were like, hey, pull up the dossier on him. Go. How far back does it go? Oh, it goes back to when he was the Brooklyn Borough president. He went on these trips and went to Turkey and they upgraded him to first class and he stayed at a nice hotel. And yeah. And did he ever do any favors for him? Well, he got the fire marshal to give him their fire certificate. That's it. That's enough. Indict him. Bribery. Favors in exchange for lavish trips. We'll teach him. We'll send a message to every Democrat mayor in this country. You better zip it. Shut up. This Department of Justice makes me sick. It makes me sick. And I don't care if it happens to my guys or it happens to their guys. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And it's just like with Menendez. Menendez was guilty. The indictment against Menendez, because I don't want to mix apples and oranges here. This is not an apples to apples comparison. Menendez was guilty. But my point about Menendez is they knew he was guilty for years. The New Jersey Attorney General looked the other way when the allegations came to his office. The United States Attorney for New Jersey looked the other way when the allegations came to his office. It was only when Menendez criticized them over the Iran deal as the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee that they were like, that's it. You're indicted. That's how it works. That's the game. And whether or not it's a substantive indictment, as it was in the case of Bob Menendez, where the guy was really doing stuff, or it's a nonsense indictment, like in the case of Eric Adams, it doesn't matter. Because the process is the punishment. Like, believe me, I'm happy they got Menendez. But they only got Menendez because he opened his mouth. You know how many corrupt Democrat politicians are operating in this country right now? Thomas Massey made a comment the other day that I think the House has paid out something like $20 million in money, in hush money, to people who have made sexual harassment allegations against members of Congress. Because Congress has their own little exemption from the law, and so they signed non-disclosure agreements and they pay taxpayer money to hush up the victims. Did you know that? And Massey, Congressman Massey, made this point yesterday. He's like, why don't we tell everybody about this? Why don't we name names? Let everybody know who's got the hush money deals. They went after Donald Trump for this non-disclosure agreement, this so-called hush money. Why don't we let everybody know who in Congress, who in this room, maybe some of the people on this dais with me, had money paid out, taxpayer money to silence the accusers? Because that's a little perk that members of Congress have carved out for themselves. They use your taxpayer dollars to cover up their own disgusting behavior, and then nobody's ever allowed to know about it. The ultimate hush money. And that's apparently perfectly legal. So, no, this United States Department of Justice is sickening. It's truly sick. It's truly sick. This is a Stalin-esque, Stasi-esque Department of Justice that is purely there for the weaponization of government. And it's used for just going after its enemies. I mean, that's what it does. It's amazing to me. It's like the clip I played of that member of Congress yesterday who admitted the quiet part out loud about the FBI and the DOJ. They're there to go after Donald Trump. In fact, Matt, if you could pull up that clip again from yesterday for me, I think it was Congresswoman Plackett, the non-voting delegate, I think Stacey Plackett, right? She represents the Virgin Islands or something like that. I'll play that when I get back, but it's just a reminder of that, of why they're there. So, and Stacey Plackett, thank you. And Merrick Garland is a butthurt attorney general who never got his confirmation hearing, and he's just a man on a mission to just do political vengeance. And he's more than happy to go after anybody that he's told to go after. It's just a joke. It's like the mafia. It's like the freaking mafia. And we watched it with Trump. We've seen it with Trump. And if something doesn't change, I mean, I'm telling you right now, I mean, if Trump doesn't win, we are so royally screwed because these people are just going to keep doing this. They're just going to keep doing this. And what the result will be is that everyone will have to stay in their lane. You won't have any Democrats breaking from the norm. I mean, because you should give Eric Adams credit for coming out and saying they're destroying New York City by sending us 10,000 illegal immigrants a day. I mean, he says migrants, but, you know, he's right. They are destroying New York City by doing that. He had the audacity to say that. Look what happens. So it's like the freaking mob. Keep your mouth shut. Otherwise, we'll come at you. And it doesn't matter if we win. We don't care. Like, we don't care if we actually get you. It's not about that. The process is the punishment. It doesn't matter if we get a conviction. We're going to make your life a living hell. We're going to make your life a living hell. We're going to tarnish you. We're going to do all these things to you. And then at the end of it, if you win or it's a hung jury or we drop the charges, whatever. The lesson has been taught. Everyone knows. Stay in your lane. Here's Stacey Plaskett, what she said yesterday. We played this on the show. Pay very close attention here to what she views the role of the FBI and the Department of Justice, please.
What is the point of this subcommittee? Because it's necessary for the public and the media to hear, to try, and provide cover for the eradication of the Department of Justice and the FBI. We are having these hearings so that you become immune. You become inured to the notion of the removal of the FBI and DOJ, so that those agencies are no longer there to serve as a check against white nationalism, great replacement theorists, Christian nationalists, white fragility, fascist, and the twice impeached convicted felon, former president and would-be dictator Donald Trump. What is the point?
Now, Chris Eppolito asked a question that I've gotten a lot of questions today. What if this indictment is just cover for going after Donald Trump? No. They don't care about cover. They don't care. It's not relevant to them. They could have said that about Menendez and just stopped there if they wanted to, theoretically speaking. They could have said that about Hunter Biden and stopped there. Well, you got Trump, but we got Hunter. No. They don't need another indictment to show that they're not just going after Trump. They got Hunter Biden for that. Now, he's ultimately going to get a pardon, but nevertheless, anybody who brings up Trump, they go, well, Hunter. So they're covered in that department. No. This is an F you to Adams. F you for speaking out about us sending you 10,000 legal immigrants a day and you having the audacity to say that it's destroying your city, that our open borders policy, which, by the way, Mayor, you supported, is destroying your city because you hate when it shows up at your door. I'm not saying you got to feel sympathy for the guy. I'm not saying you got to feel sympathy for the people of New York. They voted for this guy. They voted for the policies. I'm just simply saying, understand what's happening here. Understand the game that's being played. And they just have no shame, man. No shame whatsoever. All right, coming up, Harris has been panned everywhere about her disastrous interview last night with her buddy Stephanie Ruhle. Even Stephanie Ruhle pointing out she didn't answer the questions. And major revelations today at the House hearing on the attempted assassination of President Donald Trump. A lot to get to. The big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. The big story is that Kamala Harris blew it big time in that interview last night. This campaign is on life support at this point. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. Like, did you know, for example, that the vampiric one's husband, Paul, dumped $500,000 worth of Visa stock before a massive DOJ lawsuit, antitrust lawsuit. Did you know that happened? Yeah, it's really nice, right? It's nice. Nice thing. It's nice. The Vampiric One's husband sold more than $500,000 worth of Visa stock just weeks before the DOJ's antitrust lawsuit. I'm sure he knew nothing about that. I'm sure it was just a freaking coincidence, right? Less than 3 months before the credit card giant was slapped with federal antitrust charges. Yeah, I'm sure that's just a timing thing. You know what I mean? I'm sure nobody at DOJ tipped off the then Speaker of the House to let her know this was happening. Paul Pelosi sold 2,000 shares of Visa worth between $500,000 and $1 million. So, I don't know what to tell you. This is a corrupt government. The corruption is out there. And let's think about the Hunter Biden thing for a second, shall we? Because I know the question of, all right, Rich, are they going after Eric Adams just to show that they're going after Trump and it's just even? No. First of all, they don't care about perception. That's number one. If they cared about perception, then Lisa Page and Peter Strzok would have been arrested and charged. And they don't give a damn about perception. That's the first thing. All right. These people don't care. They have the hubris is amazing. But think about Hunter Biden. The guy was going to get the ultimate deal. I told you not to call it a sweetheart deal, which was a deal to cover up the crimes of the president of the United States of America, all wrapped up into a gun diversion agreement. And the judge would not be able to challenge that. And it was all going to go away. And then what happened? His idiot lawyers, because idiots hire idiots, it got rejected. They rejected it because they asked questions. Could he face future charges? Then that whole diversion agreement goes away. And then the federal tax crimes, it goes away. And then what happens? Well, they decide they want to get Biden out of the race. So they charge Hunter separately. They could have just let it go. Or they could have did another plea deal. But instead, they decided to charge Hunter on the tax crimes and the gun charge separately. And why did they do that? They did that to get the old man out of the race. The looming trial of Hunter Biden's tax crimes, which I told you would be delayed, it was supposed to be in September, is delayed. and probably is never going to happen because he's ultimately going to get pardoned. But that was their way of saying to the old man, time for you to go. I said that to you back then. And I was right. I was right. That's what happens. All right. So quick update on the shingles. We're not streaming on YouTube. I still can't open my right eye. And I got my my Nexol shin guard with the, you know, bumps and whatnot. So I know that the YouTube Zeoli Army community wanted to chit chat on the chat, but maybe we could do that. I don't know. Maybe we'll do that in the, just so that everybody can chat along without actually showing my hideous looking face at this
point. Yeah, I can bring up like a just the standard Rich Zeoli show if you'd like.
Yeah, why don't we do that? This way people can chat along and they can give music requests and everything else.
Okay, I'll get on that.
Yeah, that sounds fun. We'll do that. That sounds good. You don't want to see this face. Right, Justin? I mean, I sent you a picture of my face.
It was something.
You don't want to see this face. DeSantis, am I right when I say that?
It was horrible. I don't know why you keep sending us photos. I said yesterday one was enough, and yet here we are with an update.
Yeah, I sent it to Stalker, too. He said his response was, holy crap, man. That's what he wrote back. My eye looks like somebody sent a picture of Rocky after he fought Apollo Creed. Kind of looks like that a little bit. It's not pretty. And this face is a beautiful face, typically on most days. But that's where we stand. I'm on these antiviral medications. I'm on steroids. I'm having a roid rage, all kinds of roid rages. Today I punched a hole through drywall for just no reason. What the hell? Why not? Why not? Know what I mean? Said, I think this would be a nice touch to the living room. Boom! So, perfect day for if you want to challenge me as a liberal caller, lefty caller, feel free. 855-839-1210. Today's the day. I welcome the opposition. I welcome the trolls. I welcome the seminar callers. Bring it. I'm asking you to bring it. Bring it. But I'll go to Lenny. I don't think Lenny's one of those guys. Lenny's in Pittman. Lenny, what's up?
Good afternoon, Rich. Did I ever tell you I was raised in a middle-class family and I was a prosecutor and that, I'm just kidding.
How was your lawn, though? Did you have a lawn that you were proud of?
Yeah, really, man. Listen, a couple of things that are really bothering me here. One is that we're not going back. We're not going to go back. Go back to what? I don't get that. And I let me just say this. As the American people, are we really that unintelligent? And then what really gets me, I just watched today, she almost gave it the hubbada, hubbada, hubbada when the lady said, how are you going to, you know, where she's going to raise the corporate and the billionaires. Of course, Donald Trump and all his friends that are billionaires. My question to you is Oprah Winfrey, Barack Obama, P. Diddy, Beyonce, they're going to get their taxes raised too, right?
Yeah. Well, they don't care, though, these people, because they have so many lawyers and so many accountants and so many offshore and LLCs, and it doesn't bother them. They're the biggest hypocrites in the world, these people that you just named. And they wind up not paying their taxes and yet electing Democrats who want to raise taxes and everybody else. You think the 87,000 IRS agents they hired are going after people like Oprah Winfrey? No, not at all. Because she can bleed them dry. They're going after people in the middle class. That's who they're going after.
Rich, I'm going to leave you with a saying that has, I always, you know, the biggest thing my parents worried about, I listened to heavy metal music, and I turned out pretty good. But I have a favorite verse from a song by Black Sabbath. It's Heaven and Hell, and it says, the world is full of kings and queens who blind your eyes and steal your dreams. It's Democrats in hell.
I think you just made a song request to Justin.
Really?
I think you did.
I
think you.
I'll try and work it in.
You may hear that, my friend, during the show today. So stay tuned.
That is a good play. That is a great tune. The words are really good, but it is so true in this world today. I mean, there's kings and queens. They tell you, you know what I love? The border's secure. Sure it is. You know, I mean, just like
Larry, I got to run.
That's not what you see. If I hear the word bipartisan one more time,
I got to run. I got to run. You got your song in. Enough. Enough. How much more do you want to say? Is this the Larry show or the Zeoli show? What's going on here? Oh, Larry, I'm just kidding, buddy. Just kidding.
The roids are kicking in.
Just kidding, Larry. I'm just having a roid rage. Justin, you didn't hang up on him, did you?
I might have by
accident.
No.
Don't do that.
I didn't know if it was a bit or it was not, because I'm trying to start the live stream.
No.
That's my bad, Larry.
That's sorry. That's all right. Larry, sorry. Justin hung up on you, but he's going to make it up to you, buddy, by playing your song.
I will work that in. That will be the next one out of the next break.
Yeah, that's all. I was just joking with Larry. But it's all right. The roids are kicking in. That's what's happening. You know what I mean? So Larry got off easy. His next thing I was probably going to say was, Larry, enough. Larry, what do I got to do? Huh? Larry, what do I got to do to get you off this friggin' phone call? No, that was good. He's right. He's exactly right. And that's a great song. So we'll play that. Thank you, Larry. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. So let's what he was saying about Kamala stumbling and bumbling last night. There's a lot of this, too. I want to play this clip first and foremost. Cut number five here. OK, she bizarrely keeps repeating the word holistically. Now, I'm going to make an analogy to this after we play the clip. Cut five.
Through what we do in terms of giving benefits and assistance to state and local governments around transit dollars and looking holistically at the connection between that and housing and looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing for working people.
All right. You know, Matt, we need the longer cut. I know there's a longer one that has it. It's actually a little bit better. You know what I'm talking about? When she gets asked the question and then answers it about the holistic.
Yeah, I'll hunt it down.
All right. Yeah, hunt it down, because it's actually, I think with the question, it's even better. But let me go to Vincent and Yardley. Vincent, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to speak about election integrity, because like everyone, I'm really concerned about it. And there's no better example. Do you remember a few nights before the 2020 election when Steve Bannon, speaking to a bunch of rich donors, just came out and announced and said, yeah, we'll just wait till election night. Trump is just going to announce that he won, whether he did or didn't. He's just going to say, oh, yeah, I won. Party's over. How's that for election integrity?
What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, do you remember? You don't think that Steve Bannon tipping his hand like that shows how they knew they were going to pull the stunt that they did?
What is the stunt that they pulled?
Trump came out election night and said, I won the election.
Okay.
Even though he had no evidence or understanding that he did win the election. He just came out and said, I won.
Yeah. Yeah, like Stacey Abrams did. And said, I won. Yeah.
Yeah, she shouldn't have. So why are you...
So what is your question? I don't understand. What is your question regarding 2024? What is your question?
My question is, or my statement is, at this juncture... You have to be a friggin' moron to think that the election was actually stolen last time.
Okay,
and
so did
way,
Trump... Let me ask you a question. Did Trump stay in office or did he leave?
Oh, yeah, he
did he stay? Yes,
left,
it's a simple yes or no office. Did he stay as president or did he leave?
He left.
Okay, so is that not an acknowledgement that he lost the presidency because he left? Yes or no? Did he leave? So you're acknowledging he left, right? He was the president. He controlled the military, but he still got on a helicopter that took him to a plane that took him to Florida, and he left, right? You agree with that statement, correct? Okay. So then if after that he goes on and says, I believe I won, and I believe that this election was stolen from me, and he has a First Amendment right to say all those things, and you disagree with that, but he still left. He left. His actions were he left. And you just said that he left the White House, correct? So now let's talk about 2024, since he's running for president. What do you want to say about 2024?
I like my presidents that don't run insurrections.
Okay, let me ask you a question. How was January 6th an insurrection when nobody had weapons and there was no ability to overthrow the United States government? How is it an insurrection?
No one had weapons. Ashley Babbitt had like a 10-inch knife on her.
Ashley Babbitt did not use a knife. Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed to death, and there's a lawsuit now, a wrongful death lawsuit, and her family's going to win. But she didn't have the knife in her hand at the time she was shot, number one. Number two, nobody had any guns. How was anyone going to overthrow the United States government that day, according to you, as an insurrection?
I can't wait till he lets all the J6.
See, you can't answer the question. We can agree it was a riot, but it wasn't an insurrection. It didn't overthrow the government. There was no way to overthrow the government. Yeah. There was no mechanism to overthrow the government.
If Pence did what Trump wanted him to do, what would have happened?
It would have been sent back to the states, and the state legislatures would have voted to either certify the election results or not certify the election results. And there's a process at the time under the Electoral Count Act for that would have happened. That law has since been amended. But at the time, the vice president had the right to send it back to the states, or I should say the Congress had the right to reject it under the Electoral Count Act and send it back to the states and say, we don't agree with the Electoral College results. And the state legislatures then at that point would recertify or not certify. That was the law that was on the books at January 6, 2021.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. Vice presidents are always sending it back, right?
Well, actually, it happens a lot when people challenge the election results. Like Jamie Raskin challenged the election results of Donald Trump in 2016. He did that in January of 2017. They challenged the election results of George W. Bush in 2001. They challenged the election results of George W. Bush in 2005. They challenged the election results of Donald Trump in 2016, which would be January of 2017. Raskin was one of the famous ones who did that, as did Sheila Jackson Lee. So, yeah, it does actually happen a lot more than you think. And at the time in 2017, you know what? You have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm going to let you go because you're boring. You're just a boring guy. Thank you very much. Actually, at the time, too, when Joe Biden was presiding over the electoral count and Raskin couldn't get a senator to sign the letter to reject Florida's electoral college count. In fact, I know, DeSantis, we have the audio of that somewhere, I'm sure, in the archives of that idiot Jamie Raskin objecting to the certification of Donald Trump. But he didn't get a senator to go along with it. That was the law on the Electoral Count Act, which has since been modified. Well, that was fun. All right, 855-839-1210. All right, so I got more info revealed on the hearing of the Trump Pennsylvania shooting. We're going to go there with you on that. We got that. We got a lot of great stuff to talk about today. We're just getting warmed up. It's going to be a big show for you, a busy show. We got Trump coming up with a press conference at 4:30. We're going to bring that to you live. And I want to tell you about my great friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding, emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. You want to use them today because they're giving an inflation relief discount of 10% off. 10% off roofing, siding, and windows to each and every one of my listeners. And you can trust Emmons because I've used them for years. For years. Not 4 years. It's about 10 years. But I've used them in two different houses. They did the roof in our old house. Got a lifetime warranty on that roof. We also had them replace our windows, doors. Wonderful stuff. They do a really, really great job, and they will do a great job for you and your family. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to them today by going to emmonsroofing.com. 10% off inflation relief discount because they know how tough times are right now. And Stephanie and Matt are dedicated to your customer satisfaction. They know how important you are to me, and they will do a great job for you. All right? So please reach out to them today. EmmonsRoofing.com, 10% off inflation relief discount. Winter's coming. Don't wait. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Just so you know what's happening right now, Volodymyr Zelensky and Kamala Harris are holding a joint press conference together. Yes, the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, and the vice president of the United States, who is a Democrat nominee for president of the United States of America, they're having a press conference together as the United States pledges more aid to Ukraine. Donald Trump was indicted for making a phone call to Zelensky. Here is Zelensky on U.S. soil after he did his little Pennsylvania meet and greet with Josh Shapiro. Here is Zelensky with Harris. How is this appropriate? This is ridiculous. I mean, this is ridiculous. She's not the president. She's not the Secretary of State. She's the vice president. She's running for president. This is a campaign event. This is a campaign event. We're watching a campaign event right now. So Zelensky and Harris are side by side right now. And she's pledging more money. She has no authority to pledge more money as the vice president of the United States of America. She's speaking on behalf of the president, who obviously right now is making pudding castles or something right now. And this is a photo op designed to show her looking presidential, side by side with a world, and I'm using air quotes here, leader. Trump was impeached for calling the guy. Trump was impeached for calling the guy and asking about Biden's corruption in Ukraine. The guy, the same guy who travels with Josh Shapiro and Bob Casey Jr., who's running for re-election as senator, and goes to grocery shops and signs missiles and now stands there with the Democrat nominee for president of the United States of America as they're talking United States foreign policy. And this is amazing, an amazing moment in American history, because she's not the president. And here we have this. And now they're shaking hands. And now they're walking away as they just pledge more money. And they just left. No questions. Just that's it. That's it. Just the Democrat nominee for president and the president of Ukraine next to each other. Totally normal. Not at all an election event. Not at all a campaign event. Nothing. Nothing. Don't, you know. And when he's palling around with the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, and he's palling around with Bob Casey Jr., it's all good. All good. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. This is unconscionable. This is unconscionable, what we just watched right now. We are once again giving more money to this country, to this corrupt country. And what we're doing once again right now is trying to prop up Kamala Harris to look presidential when she clearly does not, after that disastrous interview with Stephanie Ruhle. So we got the vice president of the United States, who bombed in her interview last night. He's getting another $8 billion. I think the total tab now is what, like $300 billion or something like that? And it's very obvious to the military-industrial complex, this is their candidate, this is their puppet, this is their war. Kamala Harris gets in, this war continues, the money flows, everything is fine. And Trump gets in there and the war ends, and then that money gravy train drives up. But I got to tell you, looking at this and the two of them doing this event together, and she's not the president. I mean, one of the advantages presidents have is the incumbency factor, so they can do things with world leaders. But vice presidents and world leaders doing a joint announcement together when she's running for president, that is completely, completely 100% unacceptable. That is just a cheap campaign stunt. That's what that is. Unfriggin' believable. Unfriggin' I swear to God, if I wasn't roid raging right now, I would think I just made this up. I would think I just had a mirage. Maybe I did. Maybe this isn't real. Maybe the meds are just getting to me. Ukraine has received $175 billion from the U.S. as of May of 2024. But technically speaking, it's the United States military industrial complex that's received the money. And they got another $500 million since then, and now another $8 billion today. So we'll round it up. Why don't we just round it up to say $200 billion? You know, two, because I'm sure there was another time they found like a couple million under the couch. Remember that? They're like, oh look, $700 million just under the couch cushions. We'll give it to you, Ukraine. So add that to the pot. It's like, oh, I got some spare change here. How much? It was like, $700 million. What do you want to do with it? Give it to Zelensky? Yeah, why not? Sounds good. So we'll round up the 200 bills, $200 billion. And that money went to, of course, all the weapons manufacturers and defense contractors and everybody else who want to make sure that that money keeps flowing to them. So, you know, oh, man, what a country. A big 4 o'clock hour, not the fourth and final hour, but a big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead.